Hello again. It's great to see you all. Here's where we're going to start out today with the words of Jesus. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came, the one and only Son of God, humbled himself, became human, lived a perfect life. Then he suffered and died on that cross to rescue us. He literally experienced hell in our place to pay the price for all the bad things we have done, also so he could give us his perfection, his righteousness. So what? What did he say? So that we may have life and have it to the full. How's that working out for us? Seriously, take a look at your actual life, right? Is it good? Is it full? Do we have lives that actually work? Yes, no, kinda, sometimes, maybe. Most of us have lives that could be better. How does that make us feel? Some of us don't believe Jesus when he says this. Some of us don't believe in Jesus. We're like, yeah, my life could be better, but Jesus, religion, that can't help. Not really, not in the real world. Okay, that's half true. Religion isn't much help, but Jesus, the person, he can help. Have we actually given him a try? Others of us, we believe in Jesus. And we think, yeah, our lives could be better. It could be better. I believe my life could be better if I worked harder. I just need to work harder. You know, like how Jesus said, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh, yeah. You know, Jesus wasn't telling us we have to make ourselves perfect. That's his job. No, Jesus was saying that, you know, if you actually believe in him, if you're actually following Jesus, then hold on, because you know what? He's going to settle for nothing less than making us perfect, life to the fullest. Jesus wasn't saying try harder. No, he doesn't say to you, try harder. No, what does Jesus say to us? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do we do that? How do we, wear the light yoke? How do we carry the light burden? How do we have that happen in our lives? That's what we're talking about today. Actually, we're talking about that from now until Easter. We're talking about how we can have a way of life that actually works. And not like in theory, because everybody in theory can go to Jesus and have a better life. So what? What about your life? What about my life? How in super practical ways can we come to Jesus? Can we have this for ourselves? Last week, we started talking about this, right? Michael, he talked about, we gave out the booklets on, how to spend time with Jesus. If you didn't get one, grab one before you leave today. But it's not really about the booklet, right? It's about the invitation to do it, right? To actually spend time with him, to make a commitment from now until Easter, 4 months of training, not trying harder, training, actually experiencing the presence of God in our lives every day. Now, it turns out there is a really easy and practical way to press into this, to connect with God, to have more of his encouragement and his challenge and his comfort in our lives. And it's reading our Bibles. Yeah, seriously. Reading our Bibles is part of a life that actually works. We can read our Bibles to have a good life. Do we? I wonder how many of us just love the Bible. Like if we don't read the Bible in a day, it's just like, oh, our day is shot. We got to read the Bible. Really, I bet most of us, we don't even read the Bible. And if we do, we find it, kind of dry, kind of boring. We read the Bible because we're supposed to, because it's good for us, like spinach. We don't read the Bible to take in the life-giving presence of God. But we could. And please, if you don't read the Bible regularly, do not feel all guilty right now. No. Jesus did not come to bring guilt to the fullest. No. Jesus is so gentle with us. He's such an accessible, a humble king. Let's just ask him now, Jesus, the Bible, I want more out of it. Jesus, I want to read the Bible more than I do. Show me how to actually do that in my life. He will. In fact, let's talk to him now. Let's start out by praying and asking God for help with this. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need you. And God, I thank you for your gift of the Bible. And I pray today, Jesus, you show us how to receive that gift even more into our lives. You show us the powerful ways where you want to use the Bible in our lives to change us. God, help us to leave different here today because of your power. Amen. All right, so the Bible, it's a way that we can come to Jesus, that we can experience and meet him in our lives. That reading the Bible is a way to have a life that actually works. So, what is the Bible? Well, it turns out God's got a book out. Maybe you know this. It's a bestseller. Actually, it's the bestseller of all time. Seriously. And this book, the Bible, it is like a serious miracle. Like Jesus. You know how Jesus is 100% man and 100% God? The Bible is a 100% book and 100% the Word of God. Yeah, it's just a book. If you burn the Bible, it doesn't scream. Don't try that, okay? But it doesn't. It does not scream. No, it's just a book. And although this book is part of having a life that actually works, it's not a self-help book. It's got instructions and rules in it, but it's not a rule book. If you've read books about religion, the Bible isn't even really a religious book. It's a story. It is this beautiful, messy, sometimes tragic love story. It is God's story, and it is our story. It is a unique interpretation of universal history. I love the way that the Bible expert N.T. Wright describes it. He says, "It's a big book, full of big stories with big characters. They have big ideas, not least about themselves, and make big mistakes. It's about God and greed and grace, about life, lust, laughter, and loneliness. It's about birth, beginnings, and betrayal, about siblings, squabbles, and sex, about power and prayer and prison and passion. And that's only Genesis." The Bible itself, with Genesis as its majestic overture, is a huge, sprawling book. Imagine it as an enormous mural. If you painted all the figures life-size, you'd need most of the Great Wall of China to display it. Picking it up, you need to remind yourself that you hold in your hands not only the most famous book in the world, but one which has extraordinary power to change lives, to change communities, to change the world. It's done it before. It can do it again. But surely, someone will say, only God gets to change the world like that. How can we say that a mere book can do such a thing? That's the strange thing. That's why the Bible is non-negotiable. It's a vital, central element in Christian faith and life. You can't do without it, even though too many Christians have forgotten what to do with it. Somehow, God seems to have delegated, as it were, some, at least, of the things he intends to do in the world to this book. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus himself got this. Jesus, in Matthew 19, he's quoting from the Bible, and he says, "The Creator says," and then he quotes from the Bible. "The Creator says," do you see that? Jesus is saying what's in the Bible, that's God talking. Or as it says in 2 Timothy, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work." The Bible is the Word of God. And when God, the Creator, talks, we should probably listen. You know, why should we read the Bible? Well, the Bible itself tells us why we should read it. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible, it teaches us, it corrects us, it trains us, it equips us. The Bible, it shows us the truth about life. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And the Bible, it's not just about knowing and doing. This Bible sustains us and encourages us. It gives us life. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The Bible works in our lives. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yeah, there are lots of good reasons to read the Bible. Now, surprisingly, there's actually a couple bad reasons to read the Bible. Yeah, some folks, they call themselves Christians, they read the Bible to feel good about themselves. Well, really, just to feel superior to other people. Yeah. God loves me so much more because I know the Bible so well. You know, better than all you jokers. Yeah. Some people even read the Bible. They study the Bible so that they can attack and judge and condemn other people. Don't do that. If we ever find ourselves using the Bible to like beat other people up, something has gone wrong in us. Again, though, there are lots of good, really good reasons to read the Bible. Let me give you my top three reasons why it is so great to read the Bible. First off, God speaks to us through the Bible. He does. Why don't let God talk to you through the Bible? The Holy Spirit loves to speak to us through the Bible. Second, God uses the Bible to transform us. It's part of the renewing of our minds. God uses the Bible to help us to think and to act in new ways. The Holy Spirit uses this as a powerful tool. And also, God uses the Bible to energize us for his mission. Again, I love the way that N.T. Wright describes this. The Bible is not simply a repository of true information about God, Jesus, and the hope of the world. It is, rather, part of the means by which, in the power of the Spirit, the living God rescues his people and his world and takes them forward on the journey towards his new creation and makes us agents of that new creation even as we travel. Oh, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I love experiencing God's presence as I read the Bible. It is so good. So, how? How do we read the Bible? I told you this was going to be super practical, so now we're going to talk about how. And we're not actually going to start out with a phonics lesson, okay? You know, see spot run, see Jesus heal the poor. No, that's not where we're starting. I say that, it's kind of a little funny maybe, tiny bit, but some people can't read. And if that's you, it's okay. You know, I myself am horribly dyslexic. It can be hard to read. Just do what you can. You know, you can listen to the Bible on tape or there's apps that will read it to you. It's okay. Now, this isn't going to be a phonics lesson, but it's also not going to be a lesson on how to interpret the Bible. Now, it's important. It's important to know what the Bible is saying, but we don't have time to talk about everything today, okay? And besides, there's great resources for how to interpret the Bible. For example, in our bookstore, you can grab a copy of How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. It's a terrific book. In that book, I love how it says, "We are convinced that the single most serious problem people have with the Bible is not with a lack of understanding, but with the fact that they understand many things too well. For example, with such a text as do everything without grumbling or arguing, Philippians 2:14, the problem is not understanding it, but obeying it, putting it into practice." Oh, so true. We actually want to go beyond understanding the Bible to actually having it make a difference in our lives. We want to grab hold of the Bible in a way that we meet God, that we experience his presence. We want to grab hold of the Bible in a way that we hear from God, that he transforms us and energizes us. How do we do that? How do we grab hold of it? Well, today, we're going to talk about five super practical ways to do that. And to help you remember them, here's what I want you to do. Take out your program right now. Take the notes sheet and flip it over on its back, okay? The back of the notes sheet, and I want you to trace your left hand. Okay, just go ahead, trace your left hand, outline of the hand. We're not having a phonics lesson today, but we are having art, okay? Having a little art class here. Just trace your left hand. You can do it. Come on, play along. I mean, if you've got a super big hand, you know, just squeeze those sausages right there on the page. Trace them up. You can do it. I got a big hand too. Just trace it. You can do it. All right, what you're going to end up here with is a picture of you grabbing hold of the Bible in a new way, okay? All right. Super practical. How do we read the Bible? How do we come to Jesus? How do we have a life that works through the Bible? First, pinky. We're going to start with the pinky, the little pinky. We need a plan. A plan. And that might seem little and unimportant, you know, like the little pinky. But really, how unimportant is your pinky? Is anyone here think their pinky is so unimportant that they'd let me cut it off, just chop it off right now? No, the pinky's important. You want your pinky. Well, you also want a plan. So many people never start reading the Bible because they don't have a plan. We need a plan. So what's in our plan? First, we need a time to read the Bible. Like, I'm going to get up in the morning at 6:30 and I'm going to read my Bible, or I'm going to read it at 9:30 before I go to bed. Just pick a time every day to read your Bible. Okay? And I would recommend a time in the morning. Because it's like tuning an instrument, right? The concertmaster, she doesn't tune her violin after the concert. She tunes it before. And it's great to be in tune with God before we start our day. Also, if you pick a time in the morning, you never have to say, oh, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. No, no, you just go to your alarm clock, you know, or your app, whatever. You just set it for 20, 30 minutes early. Boom, you got the time. Wow, amazing. Now, I know it's not that simple, right? You know, you actually have to get up earlier, and we're not all morning people. I'm not a morning person. But we can do this. It's worth it. Besides, let's just be open to, I don't know, you know, loving Jesus more than we love sleep. Next, part of our plan should be a place. You know, like, I'm going to read the Bible at the kitchen table, or I'm going to read the Bible in my favorite chair. It should be a comfortable place, but not too comfortable. You don't want to fall asleep. It's best to get out of bed to do this. And then we need the book, right? The Bible. And I would recommend, if you can, invest in like a nice Bible. You know, real leather, the whole nine yards. I mean, you can read it with an app, but a nice Bible to hold in your hand is nice. And particularly, a good translation that you can understand. You know, if thou dost not speaketh Old English, then why have a Bible that you have to struggle to understand? In fact, you know, if you don't in your life have a Bible that you can actually read and understand the words, right in front of you, in the chair in front of you, is a Bible. Take that Bible. Seriously, take it home and actually read it. You should be able to understand it. Okay? We need a plan. We need a plan, the pinky. That's where we're starting with, grabbing hold of the Bible. We need a plan. Now let's move over to the thumb, right? If the Bible is going to make a difference in our lives, we need to apply it to our lives, just like it says in the Bible. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You will experience his presence in powerful ways. This is super important too. Just like the thumb. Our thumbs are super important. I don't know. I tease my dog about this all the time, right? I say to her, ooh, don't you wish you had a thumb? She's a smart dog, but she could do a lot more with a thumb. Actually, thumbs are one of the reasons us humans rule this world. You want Jesus to rule in your life? Thumb. Actually apply the Bible in your life. Actually apply it. And it's not that hard to understand, right? Again, not that hard. The Bible says, tell the truth. Stop lying. The Bible says, you know, be generous. Take care of the poor and immigrants. Stop being greedy. The Bible says, turn the other cheek and love your enemies and use sex appropriately. Stop sleeping around and watching porn. The Bible says to love God with everything we got and to love other people like Jesus loves them. Are we doing what the Bible says? Truth is, without God's presence, we can't actually do it on our own. But I want to be really clear here. Jesus, he is not stopping until we are made perfect, until we can actually do the things in the Bible. The Bible applies to your life. It is an instruction manual to have life to the fullest. Applying it is super important, like the thumb. The Bible touches every area of our life, okay? Like the thumb touches all the fingers. It needs to apply in our lives. Now, you can take a look at the Bible, all the things it says to do, and you just on your own can try to do them all. You know, just try to do everything the Bible says. You will fail. Okay? But it can still be worth doing because it'll show you that you can't do it without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit's help. Let me tell you how God's used the Bible to change my life. I have wanted for years, really decades, I've been doing this, to get up and every day read a chapter of the Bible. It's a good practice. It's not magic, but I just recommend it. Read one chapter of the Bible every day. Well, I'll tell you, something changed when I was in my 30s. I started to do one thing just a little differently. Before I'd read my chapter of the Bible, I'd talk to God. I'd say, Holy Spirit, as I read these words in the Bible, show me what's for my life, for me, for John. And let me tell you, doing that, something changed. The words sometimes would just jump off the page and go straight to my heart. It's hard for me even to describe how powerful this was. It was so good. I'm reading this story, this amazing love story of God. But guess what? I'm in it. God loves me so much. Whoa. And, you know, I'm reading about these people that are so messed up and dysfunctional. Oh, wait, so am I. I'm in this story. I am so messed up. I need what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I need him here and now helping me. And he is. He's here for me and he's here for you. You can find yourself in the story by applying it. And let me tell you, you know, like any relationship, this is not all, you know, I don't know, sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, okay? There's times when I go to read the Bible and I say, Holy Spirit, show me what's for me. And I don't hear God at all. And that's usually because I've already think I know what God should say. So I'm not really listening. Other times doing this deal, it's caused fights between me and God. I'm reading the Bible and God's like, hey, that there, that's for you, bud. Do that. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Seriously? No, come on. Do we have to talk about my pride again? God, give me a break. But Jesus, he ain't stopping until he's made me perfect. And you know what? You can ignore the Holy Spirit's lessons and they just get repeated over and over again. Besides, here's the thing, the amazing thing. This is so good. If the Holy Spirit is pointing to something in the Bible for you, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He gives us the power to actually do it. You can do this. We can all do this. We can actually do what the Bible says through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can actually apply it in our lives. Do what it says. Okay, thumb. Let's move on to the index finger, okay? If we're going to grab hold of the Bible, we need to meditate. We got to meditate on the words in the Bible. As the Bible says in the Psalms, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Meditation is just focused thinking. Eastern meditation is where you empty your mind. This is the opposite of that. We fill our minds with what's in the Bible. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is part of renewing our minds. God transforming us. So let me show you how this can play out, how we can do this. And also, let me say that there's not just like one way to meditate on the Bible, okay? There's lots of great ways to press into this. Last week, Michael talked about for like how over a year he's been meditating. He spent meditating on just one verse out of Ephesians, you know? Grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Oh my goodness, think about that. Just thinking and meditating, focusing your thinking on the love of God and how amazing it is for over a year. That is so cool. But that's not how I do it. So let me tell you how God has used this in my life. I've already told you I like to read a chapter of the Bible every day. So what I do is I read that chapter, right? Let's say I'm going to read the book of John, right? Great biography of Jesus. I'm going to read the book of John, so I've got my plan, my time, and my place. And so I sit down, I ask the Holy Spirit, you know, as I'm reading these words, what do you got for me? What's in here for me? So I'm reading it, I start reading the book of John, and as I read it, I'm looking for things that stand out, right? That like draw my attention, that capture my mind or my heart. Okay, let's try this. I'm going to read a little of the book of John and, you know, see if there's things that might be like stand out. It's just that simple, right? So here we go. Love the book of John. Through him, this is the starting towards the beginning. Through him, all things were made. This is through Jesus. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Or maybe jump down a little and it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Okay, maybe as I'm reading about my chapter, something's going to stand out. Maybe it's that Jesus is the true light, you know, that stands out. But I'll tell you, sometimes nothing stands out. And other times, everything stands out. So what do? I just read it again. Just read it again until God points to something, right? Till I see something that's for today. And when that thing, maybe the fact that Jesus is the true light, when it stands out, then I focus my thinking on that. I read it again. I ask myself, okay, what was the author trying to say here? Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me now? I read it again. I talk to God about it. I pray about it. You see, it's just focused thinking. It's not that complicated. We can do this. And really, if you just think about it, it's the index finger. It's the pointer finger. What are we doing? We're letting God point to something, something that's for us, that we need. Okay, pointer finger. Now time for the middle finger. This is probably the one chance I could flip you all off, but I'm not going to do it. Middle finger. Oh, God. Pastor filter, no flipping people off. Middle finger, okay. So the middle finger, if we're going to grab hold of the Bible, we need to meditate. Study, that's where I'm at. We need to study the Bible, as it says in the Bible. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in in some place that starts with a T. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Or in Timothy it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Okay. We want to take time to examine, to study the Bible so we can correctly handle the Bible. Now, this implies that there's times when we don't handle the Word of God, the Bible, correctly. And you know, that sure is true. There's times where we just ignore the Bible, right? We ignore what it says, usually because we don't like it and we don't want to do it. There's other times where we pretend there's things in the Bible that aren't in the Bible. Like, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Not in the Bible. The Bible actually says pretty much the opposite of that. There's other times where we use the Bible to attack and condemn and kind of actually, you know, flip people off with the Bible. No. All those things come out of bad study of the Bible, or maybe just a lack of good study of the Bible. But let me tell you, studying the Bible is not, it's not rocket surgery, right? It's not that complicated. Every follower of Jesus can study the Bible. We can. And so let me give you just three ways to study the Bible in like a healthy way. First of all, we got to work at it. Yeah, we got to make an effort. It takes time to study the Bible. So what about if just like once a week we took an hour or two, you know, just an hour or two that we're maybe not going to look at screens, you know, you could take the time to watch a movie and just study the Bible. Maybe go through a good Bible study, or, you know, maybe use that book, you know, How to Study the Bible for All It's Worth. Study the Bible, actually work at it. Second, humility. Yeah, the Bible can be hard to understand. And what's even worse, we all read it through our biases and prejudices and blind spots. Nobody's got it all right. People can love Jesus and be following him and disagree about parts of the Bible. Let's stay humble. Next, community. Oh, let's do this with other people. Grab a small group guide, right? Let's come to Jesus. Let's read the Bible with other people. It keeps us on track. And let me tell you, it's more fun to do with other people too. Okay. Finally, ring finger, right? Ring finger. To grab hold of the Bible, we need to memorize the words of the Bible. Like it says in the Bible, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them to your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Or in Deuteronomy it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." I love the way that Dallas Willard describes this. He describes this memorization. He says, "Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose between all the disciplines of the spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization because it is a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." That's where you need it. How does it get in your mouth? Memorization. Yeah, but let me tell you like the truth about John. The sad truth about John, personally, is I hate memorization. Oh my goodness, I do. Maybe it's part of being dyslexic, but it is super hard for me to do it, to actually do it. But let me tell you, it's also super worth it. So I've tried so many things, you know, note cards, you know, you write the verses on the note cards, you carry them around, or post-it notes, putting them up, you know, all through the house. You can buy Bible memorization kits. It's really not super complicated. You know, you read it, you maybe you read it aloud, you break it down, you keep coming back to it, you know, as you're driving in your car, before you go to bed tonight at night, you just keep working at it and you memorize it. I don't know, maybe all of you are like super good at memorization. Not me. I struggle at it. But let me tell you, when you're, I don't know, hurting and struggling, or when you're, you know, about, you're being tempted and about to do something you shouldn't, or you're in a hard conversation with a friend or one of your kids, and that perfect verse comes back to mind, God dials up something you memorized, it is so good. It's like in that moment, God reaches out and he grabs a hold of your hand. He gives it a little squeeze. It's like, "I'm here, and I got what you need." Ah, oh, it's so good. See, we can grab hold of the Bible in a way that we meet God, that we experience him in our lives. We can, right? How do we grab hold? Have a plan, pinky. Apply it in our lives. Meditate on it. Study it. Memorize it.
We can do it. We can grab hold of the Bible in a way that we actually hear from God. He speaks to us. He transforms our lives. He energizes us. Reading the Bible is part of having a life that actually works. Reading the Bible is a way that we come to Jesus and he gives us peace. He gives us life to the fullest. And again, it's not trying harder. It's training. Will we open ourselves up through reading the Bible to God and his love? I tell you what, let's stand up and let's talk to God about this, actually doing this in our lives. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. Come right now. And God, in the same way that we all are at different places in our relationship with you, we're all in different places with the tool, the gift you gave us of the Bible. And Lord, where I want to start out is for many of us, there are barriers to us reading the Bible. And so Holy Spirit, I ask that you come now and you remove those barriers. For some of us, it's just guilt. We thought we should read the Bible and then we don't, we try and then we don't. And that guilt builds up and maybe some shame. And so we're just like, I got to stay away from the, no God, you did not come to make us feel guilty. Clear out all that guilt. Just give us a fresh start. Help us to hear from you right now that we don't have to hold on to any of that guilt. Let it go. For others of us, you know, maybe the Bible has been used to beat us up, to make us feel guilty. So we don't really like the Bible. Oh God, heal that. That's not what's in the Bible. Some of us, maybe we've even used the Bible to beat other people up. God, just forgive us. Give us a fresh start. Some of us, God, to be honest, is just laziness. God, that's me sometimes. I'm just lazy. Oh, God, help me to see how you are so much better than my laziness. Give us the strength and the courage to just step out and meet you. And next, God, as we actually read the Bible, I do ask that you meet us, you transform us and energize us. We hear from you. God, the picture I get in my mind is the Bible is this incredible tool. It's like this giant cordless drill that you've given us. And we're like little kids that come up and we try to pick it up and we're not quite strong enough. And you're a great father who comes behind us and puts your hands around ours and picks it up. And we're able to build incredible things in our lives, in the world, because of that partnership. Draw us into that, Jesus. And I ask, as you do miracles in our lives through the words of the Bible. You transform our minds and our hearts and our behavior to be more and more like Jesus. You help us to go out into this world with the truth of the Bible and bring life to those around us. Point them to you and your incredible light. You are the light of the world. Help us to be part of that because of what you do in the Bible through us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward, and these folks would love to pray for you. If you look at your life and you're like, I maybe feel a little guilty about the Bible, or I don't like the Bible, I don't like what people have done with it, let's pray for that. Let's seek healing in that area. If you want what the Bible can do in your life, and the Bible, we all need more of the Bible, I mean, come forward and let's pray for that. Let's pray for transformation in your life. Let's pray that as you read the Bible, it just rocks your world. Let's pray that God does that. If you're on this odyssey of spending time with God every day, you know, you're using the booklet and maybe the first week didn't go great. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for a fresh start. If you're struggling to make a commitment to do that now till Easter, let's pray for that. Really, if there's anything in your life you need prayer for, if you need physical healing or in your finances or relationships, God has things for you this morning. He can bring incredible healing. He can surprise us in incredible ways. Let's press into that. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would just invite you, slow down. Hear what else God has to say to you today. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.